Matthew. We are continuing our Sermon on the Mount study. We talked last week about prayer, actually the last 3 weeks about prayer. I hope your prayer life has been encouraged, it's been invigorated, it's something new and fresh, and you've experienced some new things with that. But today's topic is going to be hard for many of you. I'm not going to lie. It's going to be difficult. Because for us to truly understand how to forgive the way that God forgives, that's going to be difficult for us. Because God, in the way that He does it, has a unique way of, when we repent, He lets stuff go and reestablishes that relationship back to the fullest of where it needs to be. But we as humans, we don't do very good at that. That's hard for us. And in fact, it's hard for us to try to conceptualize what true forgiveness really looks like. When to do it, how to do it, how many times do we do it? And when we are really wronged, should we really let it go? And so today, the sermon, I hope, my prayer, is that it will enlighten you, it will challenge you, it will hopefully put you in a different place in understanding what it means to be forgiven and what it means for us to forgive. So I want you to understand that this sermon really could be going in 100 different directions. And so we're going to stay on one path, on one track, and we're going to try to keep staying that direction in order to understand what forgiveness looks like for us as believers. And so we're going to operate under the idea that the passages we're going to be reading, which when we look at the verbiage of it, really is talking to believers, the church as a whole, not just Townsend Church, but the global church, the church that is really going after God, those that truly believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that He died and to set them free from their sins, and that when we repent of our sins, because of Jesus' sacrifice, we can have forgiveness of those sins and be in right relationship with Creator God. That's the church I'm talking about. And so we're going to see some passages today that are going to be very challenging to you. They're going to be hard for you. I hope that when you leave here today, they're a little bit easier and they make a little bit more sense. But here's the main thought for today. Forgive as you have been forgiven. Forgive as you have been forgiven. Now, it'd be easy for us to say, okay, so I'm supposed to think back throughout my entire life and think about how people have forgiven me, and that's how I'm supposed to forgive. No, it's not what I'm talking about at all. But what I do want you to think back and try to understand and conceptualize is, how were you forgiven by God? How far did He go? How much did He let go? How much does He continue to let go? How does He continue to work this relationship? And what is my requirement in order to experience His forgiveness? And when we can conceptualize and understand that, then I can translate that into how I work among other believers and how I am supposed to forgive when I am wronged by them. Now again, we're talking about within the church and within fellow believers, people that are serving God and going after Christ. This is the type of forgiveness we're talking about. It is different when we get outside of here, when people don't understand what forgiveness is, when they're not following God. What does that look like and how does that work? That's a sermon for another day. But I will tell you that a lot of what we're going to talk about today, you can take into the secular world and play this out as far as forgiveness. Forgiveness a lot of times is not just about the other person. It is about me as well. Because you see, unforgiveness can have a detrimental part to my health. I can carry around roots of bitterness that will blossom into things that will cause me to be unhealthy physically, emotionally, and spiritually. And so when we talk about forgiveness today in the realm of the Christian world, it's very easy for us to understand it. But to take that out and put it into the world that we live in, to the secular world, that's where it gets complicated for us. But let me tell you something. If we want to show the love of God, we've got to learn how to forgive the best that we can. If we want to be all that we can be in this Christian walk and be healthy, emotionally healthy, spiritually healthy, physically healthy people, we've got to learn how to let things go when the proper time is there. And hopefully by the end of the sermon, that will make sense on both accounts. But we are staying in the realm of Christians working together with other Christians. Everybody with me? All right, so here we go. Forgive as you have been forgiven. Jesus jumps right in the Sermon on the Mount, right after He talks about prayer, and He hits us with some verses that we're going to look at in a minute. I did that in the first service. Gets me every time. So here's what forgiveness is not. Forgiveness is not denying that a wrong happened. It's not just ignoring it, because the reality is when a wrong happens, it hurts. And to try to ignore those feelings, it's impossible. That's not forgiveness, just ignoring it. That's not what forgiveness is. Forgiveness is also not calling a wrong a right, trying to justify it, trying to figure out a way to spin it to where it is okay. That is not what forgiveness is. Forgiveness is also not condoning a wrong, just kind of dismissing it. Like, it's not a big deal. It'll be okay. It's nothing really to worry about. Yet it is something to worry about. It hurt me. It crushed me. It destroyed me. It marred my character. Whatever you want to throw in there, it is something to worry about. So forgiveness is not just turning away from it, ignoring it, or building up a wall, or letting it callous over by just justifying it away. It's none of that. Nor is it pardoning or exonerating. Just letting it go for the sake of letting it go, and nobody is held accountable. There has to be accountability in this thing. For forgiveness to be given, somebody has to be held accountable for the wrong that they've committed. And then lastly, it's not just making a bunch of excuses. I think we as parents do a really bad job of this for our kids. We try to excuse their character flaws away instead of trying to lovingly hold them accountable and bring them into submission to the Holy God. We make excuses to everybody else to excuse our children. No. The reality is they goofed up. Hold them accountable and let's move on. So that's not what forgiveness is. It's none of those. We can't just ignore stuff. We can't just assume that it's all going to be okay. There has to be justice served in some form or fashion, whether it's through penalties or through repentance. So when we get to the passage in Matthew, Jesus eloquently puts out this prayer that we should pray and kind of the model of what it looks like. And then he hits us very, very hard with these two verses. And these two verses are problematic for us if we read it in just the notion of we just should forgive everybody. And here's what it says. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. That's tough. So you're telling me that if I do not forgive my friend Matt when he wrongs me, that God's not going to forgive me of my sins? I'm just telling you what he said. Now, it goes deeper than that. So let's not just stay on the surface here, because a lot of times that's what gets us Christians in trouble is we read it for surface value and we just try to make it whatever we want. Let's dig in and see what it's really talking about. Because if we go back and we look at the verse in verse 12, here's what it says. This is the prayer. Remember, the portion of the prayer says, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Or forgive us our sins or our trespasses as we forgive those who sin or trespass against us. Now, here's what you have to understand. He's talking in the Lord's Prayer, in the Sermon on the Mount, and who is he talking to? He is talking to a group of followers, a group of believers, people who are in tune with what he's trying to get accomplished. And he's speaking to them that when you pray, here's how we should all pray. Father, forgive us our debts, meaning followers of Christ. When we have sinned, forgive us as we forgive those in the fold that sin against us. You see, the Sermon on the Mount is not geared for just everybody. It's geared for believers. It's geared for followers. It's teaching us how we are supposed to live in this life. And so he comes from the backside and says, okay, let's deal with sins. We need to ask for forgiveness and we need to grant forgiveness. And then he gets down into that passage and he says, so here's the deal. If you want me to forgive you in the way that I forgive you, then maybe you should consider forgiving other like-minded believers the same way. So it begs the question, what does that look like? What does that mean? How in the world can I forgive like God forgives? Because the way that God forgives is way different than us. We're not geared that way. Our minds don't work that way. We can't just automatically wash things away the way that he does with the blood of Christ. We're here and we see each other and seeing you reminds me of what you did to me. So have I not forgiven you? I don't know. Let's see what he says. So let's start with this. How important is forgiveness? Fair question. How important to our Christian life is forgiveness. How important is it? Well, here's what Jesus says back in Matthew 5. Remember, we talked about this a couple of weeks back. He says, therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First, be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. So here's what that means. Let's say Seth and I are good buddies, which we are, right? Okay, just making sure. And I do something that I know just absolutely sets him off, just sends him over the edge, offends him or hurts his feelings or something. And then I come to church on Sunday and I know that I want to worship God. And God reminds me, hey, before you come and lay your life on the altar and worship me, you need to fix your relationship with your brother. So now I have a responsibility. Because to Jesus, to God, the most important thing is not just worshiping him, but being in right relationship with other believers. And so whether I have offended him or I know that he's mad at me, my responsibility is to go to him when God prods me to, or when I know that something is the matter, and make that relationship right. Does that mean we have to be best buddies again? I don't know what the thing is that's between us. But depending on what it is, if we can work through it and restore the relationship, amen, God gets glorified. But regardless of what happens in the end, my responsibility is try to make amends to where he wants or can or has the opportunity to grant me forgiveness because of my repentance. You see, that's the key word in all of this. You're going to hear that 100 gazillion times in this sermon. Because the key thing to God granting us forgiveness is solely based on us repenting. Owning my own junk, taking it to him, and accepting it. So when I go to Seth and I accept my responsibility and I repent, now he has a choice. And if he is the believer that I believe that he is, he'll figure out a way to forgive me and to rework this thing to make it right again, because that's what we're called to do. So how important is granting forgiveness or repenting and accepting forgiveness to God? It is vital. It blocks our relationship with him until we can restore those things back to normal among each other. It's the reason that he is talking to us as believers that if you want forgiveness from me, we've got to work it down here. Now that sounds like a works salvation. We're not talking about salvation. We're talking about keeping our relationship in the right spot with him. And so there are requirements. There are things that we need to be doing to keep us going in the same direction and in tune with him. We're going to continue to look at that. You guys with me so far? Okay, good. So, Matthew Henry says this, a sign of a forgiven heart is a heart willing to forgive. Now, this is very serious for you to understand in order to continue forward. For me to even be willing to forgive, to let things go, to rework the relationship into something new and what it needs to be, I have to truly understand what it means for me to be forgiven by God. Because if I can understand how much God has truly forgiven me, what great length he has gone to set this whole thing up, then how in the world can I look at my friend and say, I can't forgive you for this little thing? It doesn't work that way. Because Jesus said, listen, if you want to really get this thing and to understand what true forgiveness is, you got to be willing to forgive. And if you can be willing to forgive and try to work through this stuff, and he knows we're human, he knows this is going to be a struggle for us because some things are going to be worse than others, and how we view it is going to be a little bit different than the next guy down the line. But he says, I'm not worried about them, I'm worried about you. And if you and I want to stay in this right relationship, you got to learn how to be able to forgive other people in the fold as they hurt you, because it's going to happen. It's going to happen. And so Matthew Henry says, do you know how to tell whether you understand forgiveness or not? Is if you are willing to forgive the person that has wronged you. I love the fact that he puts willing, because depending on what Seth has done to me or I've done to Seth, it may take him a little while. Now he's pretty understanding. We've got a really good relationship, so he probably would give me the benefit of the doubt right off the bat. But if this is a new relationship, it's going to take him a little while to figure out how to truly let that go and rework the relationship with me in a safe spot to where we can have communion together. That's not unforgiveness. That's him working through his own stuff to get to the place where we can have a relationship or a friendship. I am so glad that God is not like that. You're going to see in just a few moments how quick and how efficient God is with this. It's so amazing. A couple of verses that Paul throws out when we're talking about this whole thing of how do we do this, or what does it look like, or how important is it. He says in Ephesians 4:32, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. You know, it would be one thing if he had left that off and we can say, okay, yes, I've got to figure out how to forgive. But he gives us the how-to. How can I forgive my friend that has hurt me as God forgave me? I wasn't his friend. I was his enemy because I was full of sin. But I recognized my sin and I came through full repentance and I asked for forgiveness of sin. And God instantly gave it to me. And we were friends. I was his heir. I was his son. How dare I hold that from my friend or my wife or my children, who their wrong towards me is insignificant compared to what I've done to Christ? Colossians 3:13, Paul again is talking to believers, and he says, bearing with one another, forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, let it go. Stop holding these dumb grudges. It's why churches die. I hate drama. Is the bane of my existence. But he says, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. Not a if you feel like it, not a if it's convenient, not a maybe when you're ready. It's a you've got to do it. Now again, within believers, within the church, pass around. People don't hurt each other's feelings and talk bad about each other in the church. That never happens. Come on. Stick around. I've been in church long enough to know better. But Jesus doesn't like it. God doesn't like it. In fact, they encourage us, stop. God forgave you much. You can forgive that little. So how do we forgive as God forgives? If that's what we are called to do, if forgiveness, granting forgiveness, receiving forgiveness is vital to our Christian life, it's super important, and we see that we are to forgive as God forgives, what does that mean? What does that look like? Well, let's look at a passage, Matthew chapter 18. If you don't have your Bible here today, I've got some people, I'm sure, that will be glad to put one in your hands if you just simply lift your hand nice and high. Everybody, I know, Bryce, you were so ready earlier, and I'm so sorry. Anybody at all? Awesome, thank you. I saw you back there and I was in a spot and I couldn't stop. Sorry. Thanks for being patient. In Matthew 18, verse 21, we find a wonderful passage. If you've been in church any time at all, I assure you, you've heard this passage, but I want you to watch what happens in it. Matthew 18, verse 21, then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? Legitimate question. We live in a world that you mess me over once, you're out, right? And Peter's at least giving the benefit of the doubt. My brother, my Christian brother, my friend, the one I'm doing life with, my cohort in crime of trying to serve Christ, he wrongs me. How many times should I forgive him? Seven times? Like, that's realistic, right? Peter's asking an honest question because we would stop at two, maybe one, maybe none. Jesus says to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. I can see Peter over on the side taking notes. All right, seven's out. Seven times 70, 490. So, all right. So that means I got to keep a list? I can keep a tally, right? So as soon as they hit that 491st time, it's on. I can just light them up. It's not what he's saying. Jesus goes into his little parable stage here and he says this, therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. That sounds a lot like to me God wanting to settle his accounts with us, right? That's kind of what he's going after here. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. That's millions of dollars in our day. Like an enormous amount of money that there was no way this guy was going to be able to pay it back. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded him that he be sold with his wife and his children and all that he had, and that payment be made. It's fair. You can't pay me. I'm not going to be mean about it, but the reality is I got to get my money like you owe me, so I'm selling everything you got. Watch what happens. The servant therefore fell down before him saying, Master, have patience with me and I will pay you all. So get the picture. This guy comes in, he comes to his servant or to his master. His master says, listen, dude, I've lent you so much money. I need to get paid back. Like it's really starting to take effect here. I don't see the master being mean and nasty. I see him being reasonable. I've lent you the money because I trusted you. You said you were going to pay it back. So let's have it. I need it. And the guy says, I can't. And he's like, well, then we're just going to have to sell everything you got because I've got to be able to recoup my money. I'm sorry to have to do that. But the reality is I'm a just master. You knew this going in. You borrowed the money. And so it's a payment you cannot pay. So you're going to have to be sold. And the guy falls on his face before the master and says, no, please. You don't understand. Just give me a little more time and I will pay it all. It's a great picture of us in our sinful state when God begins to work on our heart and he says, hey, you know, you got to try to fix this. You've got a big debt. And if you don't pay that debt, I'm going to allow you to go to hell because that's the payment. And we, when we feel that conviction and we start noticing that this is what's going on in our hearts, we fall on our face before a holy God, recognizing that we cannot pay that. There's no way, but we try, we bargain, we say, God, please be patient. I'll figure it out. I'll make it up. I want to make it right. Help me. And I want you to know the response, because this is exactly how God responds every time. Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. No questions asked. No bargaining chips had. No resentment toward the guy. No nothing. He said, you know what? I see your heart. I'm going to let you go. I'm going to forgive the debt because I love you. For those of us that are followers of Christ, that is exactly what God has done for you. Your payment, the only way you could make things right between you and God was to pay a penalty that was hell because of the sin in our life. But when God came knocking on our door, when you sat in that sermon or you heard that song or just in the quiet of your home and God said, hey, I want to make this right with you. I want to fix this for you because it's a debt you cannot pay. We fall on our face before him and we say, please fix it. Please do something. And instantaneously, it's done. No hesitation. No questions asked. It's done. Love it. But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, a very small amount, very payable. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me what you owe. So this fellow servant fell down on his feet, begged him, saying, have patience with me and I will pay you all. Where have you heard that from before? Same statement. There's two guys, two servants serving the same master. The one servant, the first servant, was just forgiven an insurmountable debt, a debt he was not able to pay. And the master graciously looked at him and said, hey, all's good. Go do your thing. And now this first servant finds another servant in the same kingdom, doing the same thing, serving the same master. And this second servant owes just a little bit of money to that first servant that was just forgiven a bunch. And the servant says, oh, please have patience with me. Give me just a little more time and I will pay it all. Same thing that was said. Same thing. And he, that first servant, would not, but went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were very grieved and came and told their master all that had been done. Then his master, after he had called him, said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant just as I had pity on you? And his master was angry, delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him. So my heavenly Father will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother or sister in Christ their trespasses. That's a powerful story. Because we have been forgiven so much. And daily we are continually being forgiven for the dumb stuff that we do every day. And when we can understand the massive viewing of what our sin really looks like and how God just covered it with the blood of Christ, and that all of it is gone, we are forgiven and we are free in Him. And then we find our little neighbor, our other friend in Christ, and they cuss us or they hurt our feelings or they steal from us or they do something that we know is wrong and we won't forgive that. God says, ooh, you really didn't understand it, did you? If that's the case, then you're not forgiven yet. That is so hard. Man, that is powerful. But seriously, if I can't forgive my friend Seth for the small thing that he's done, how can I expect to be forgiven by a God who's willing to forgive all this stuff? Jesus is pretty clear, especially in this story. We have a responsibility in all of this. That because we understand that we have been forgiven, that is the same style of forgiveness we should be giving out. So what does that look like? First off, forgiveness is already initiated by God. Forgiveness was initiated all the way back from the beginning anyway. The sacrifices to atone for their sin, and then Jesus coming and making a way possible for all to come to repentance. God initiated this long before we were born or thought of. And so therefore it is available to anybody that wants it. But let me tell you something, it is not automatic. God is a very loving God. And He prays and wants and hopes that none should perish. But He is a just God. And if you do not repent and accept forgiveness, you will die and spend eternity separated from Him in hell. Pure and simple. That's not a loving God. Yes, it is. You're looking at me telling me that He's not loving when He set long before you were born and thought of this whole plan in motion so that all you have to do is repent of your sins and serve Him? Come on, don't play that game with me. That's garbage to me. The truth is we don't want to do it. We want it to be easy. We want to have our cake and eat it too. We want to be able just to enjoy life however we want, knowing that God's a loving, forgiving God and that it'll all just pan out when we get there. False teaching, by the way. Fake news. It won't work. Scripture is clear. There are plenty of verses in these letters and these wonderful books that tell us that there is a prerequisite before forgiveness can be had. It's called repentance. You know what I love about this story probably more than anything is the zero hesitation by the master. He didn't ask how he was going to repay it. He wasn't interested in the plan that first servant was trying to develop in his head of how he was going to repay it. He didn't ask about, hey, what are you going to do to celebrate? He just said, you know what? I see your heart. I see your repentance. You're asking for repentance. You're asking for forgiveness. I'm going to give it to you. Oh, dear God, help me to be like that. Help me to be so quick to forgive and so quick to let go and to not hold grudges because I'm pretty daggone good at that. I can keep a record of wrongs better than anybody. How unfair. How shameful. And where do I get the right to not forgive when God has forgiven so much? For forgiveness to be experienced, there must be repentance. It's vital. So, think about this. God is already made available forgiveness. Agreed? It's out there. Not automatic. You don't just get it. How do you get it? You have to ask for it. You got to repent. He wants to give it. He's wanting everybody to have it. He wants everyone to spend eternity with Him. But the reality is you've got to ask for it. You've got to repent of your sins. Now listen, repentance is not just saying, I'm sorry. Because we all say sorry pretty quickly and it doesn't really mean a whole lot. And we know that when we hear that from somebody else. Which is part of the reason why we struggle with forgiveness so much. If I hurt Sally's feelings and I go back and I apologize and I say I'm sorry and I do it again in 2 days, how sorry was I really? And then I come back and I apologize again and graciously, as a loving wife would, forgives me. And then 3 days later, I do it again. You see, that's not what we're talking about when it comes to repentance. Repentance is me coming to her and saying, hey, I did this once, I see how it affected you, and I am repenting, I'm turning, I'm not going to do that again. I'm going to do my best to not repeat this error. In other words, here's the direction I was heading. This is what I was doing that I know is hurting you. I am sorry, I am repenting, meaning I am turning away from that direction to the opposite direction to do something better, different, and right. You see, when I go to Christ and go to God and I ask for forgiveness of sins, I should be repenting, not just saying I'm sorry. Because repentance says, God, I'm going to stop doing this. What we are doing as believers and as churchgoers all across the land is we are making a mockery of God's forgiveness because we are not truly repenting of the things that we're asking for forgiveness for. We're just assuming that I can continue to ask because God's so nice and kind. Be careful. Just stop doing what you're doing. That's the best bet. And when it comes to forgiving those around us, repentance is necessary. It is vital. And I want you to think about this. It's impossible for us to do. Seth and I are friends. So I just keep picking on you because it's easy and I know you can take it. Seth and I are friends. For him to truly forgive me as God forgives me, that's impossible for him to do. He can't do that. That's not a knock on Seth. He's not God. He's close, but he doesn't have the brain of God. But for him to forgive as God truly forgives, it's impossible for any of us to do. Therefore, we have to rely on God and the Spirit of Him moving through us to bring us to a place where we can forgive the best that we know how. I have to rely on God to help me to let go of all those wrongs that are in my head. From the first sermon to this sermon, in between there, my brain was rolling of people I probably should contact, that I know that I've hurt their feelings or I've wronged. Now that's for me. That may not be for you, but those are things that are going through my head because I don't want those things to be held against me. I want to be able to get forgiveness as I grant forgiveness. But it's impossible for me to do that on my own. I must rely on the power of God to do that because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And with men, it's not possible, but with God, it's kind of possible. It's really possible. It is possible. So how often do we forgive? This is the hard one. Because again, we kind of like to hold those records and look, you've got me 3 times, shame on me, no more. But the reality is, it doesn't matter. Luke 17, 3-4. Jesus says, take heed to yourselves. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. Now again, this is talking to believers because it's talking about my brother. If Seth sins against me, then I should be able to hold him accountable. By the way, if you signed up to be a member, that's what we signed up for, to hold each other accountable, to have those hard conversations, to open that door up of when you hurt my feelings, I'm going to come talk to you. But as long as I do it in the right way, in the right tone, right? So I have permission to go to Seth and say, hey, Seth, I just want you to know that when you said this, it made me feel this way. It caused me to act a certain way towards you. And so in that moment, I'm holding him accountable for what he said or what he did that he may not even know. And then it says, and if Seth repents, guess what I'm supposed to do? Hold it over his head for 10 more years? Continue to bring it up? No, forgive him. Let it go. So what happens if I confront him and he doesn't acknowledge it or repent? Well, there's a little bit further down in Matthew 18 that we can talk about later on in a different day. Because there's a way to handle it. But Jesus says, listen, if you know that somebody's wronged you, rebuke them. Hold them accountable. Or if they come to you, let them know, as they're seeking forgiveness, let them know how it made you feel. Do it in the right way, in the right spirit. Let them learn. Hold them accountable for what's going on. But when they ask for forgiveness, forgive them. Then he says, and if he sins against you seven times in a day, and seven times in a day returns to you saying, I repent, guess what? You got to forgive him. That doesn't sound very fun, right? But let me ask you a question. When you looked in the mirror this morning, if you looked in the mirror this morning, were you human or were you God? You're human, which means you're probably going to mess up quite a few times in the day, right? And would we not want that same grace shown to us? Because I know I'm going to hurt my wife's feelings. I'm an idiot. Like, I'm not the smartest guy in the block. Like, I'm going to do things, I'm going to say things, I'm going to react in such a way that's going to hurt her feelings. And so I hope that she's gracious enough, which she amazingly is, that when I come to her finally and say, I'm an idiot, she says, I already know, it's okay. Right? When I come and I ask for forgiveness, she's able to forgive me. How many times? God says seven, but that's not what really Jesus is talking about there. Jesus is talking about keep doing it. It's your brother. It's your sister. We're in life together. Keep restoring that relationship. Rebuke them. Challenge them. But forgive them. So how many times do you do it? 490. Seven per day. Mm-mm. As many times as you go to God and ask for forgiveness, that's what you got to do. Forgiveness is a recognition of being forgiven. Me being able to forgive Seth is a recognition in my mind and my heart of what I've been forgiven of by God. Forgiveness is a total recognition of what the fact that I've been forgiven. That's huge for us. I think many times the reason we don't forgive is we haven't conceptualized and really understood what it means to be forgiven by God. And maybe that's what you need to work on this morning. Or maybe come to the altar and accept that forgiveness again and say, God, I get it. Secondly, forgiveness is based on the work of Christ, not our works. Again, when we look at that passage, it would be really easy to think and to read into that unless I do this, I don't get God's forgiveness. We're not talking about the overall arching forgiveness of God. But what we are talking about is what Christ did on the cross is enough for our forgiveness, but we need to maintain it by continually seeking forgiveness and continually granting forgiveness. That's our responsibility. That's our job. Forgiveness is conditional. Salvation in God's love is unconditional. God's love towards us is unconditional. He loves everyone. But his forgiveness is absolutely conditional. The only way I can get forgiveness from God is I must repent of my sins. Again, it's not just saying I'm sorry or confessing it. It's confessing it and turning away from it to not do it again. That is when true forgiveness is had. It's conditional. We'll leave it at that. Lastly, restoration of the relationship requires repentance and forgiveness. Now, I want to stay here just for a second, because when we talk about the relationship, we've got two different relationships that we're talking about. When I talk about my spiritual relationship between God and myself, God is the only one that is able to completely wipe away my sin that I confess and receive forgiveness for, that I repent of, and restore the relationship to its fullest extent where no hard feelings are had. He doesn't change his game plan. We are going forward just like we were before I sinned. Does that make sense? He's the only one that can truly reestablish a relationship like that. Now, within our believing bunch here, let's say one of us, again, I offend Seth. And it's a doozy, man. I'm not even going to make something up because I don't even want to speak it into existence, but it's a bad one. And Seth and I, months, go back and forth trying to work through this and trying to grant forgiveness and seek forgiveness and apologize and work through it. And finally, he's able to forgive me, but it has changed our relationship. I do not believe that because he has granted me forgiveness, especially depending on what I've done, that we have to be right back in that same relationship that we were before, because obviously it was toxic to begin with. And so now Seth has an option. He can work with me in such a way that keeps me at a safe distance, that still restores that relationship, but just in a different fashion. because it's safer for him. It's smarter for him. It's actually wiser for him to do that. Does that make sense? So many times I believe we have this fallacy that if we forgive, then we have to be right back in with that person. That's ridiculous. Depending on the notion. Now, we can't use that to our advantage. Just because you don't like them or they irritate you. But I do encourage you. I believe Scripture teaches us very clearly that we should absolutely pay attention to the relationships that we are in and how we are to act inside those relationships. The wrong can be forgiven, but the relationship may be restored to something a little bit different. And that's okay. Let me tell you something. Forgiveness is hard, man. It is brutal. It is so hard to let things go when it hurts so bad and so deep. But if we can ever grasp and conceptualize just how much we truly have been forgiven, it should put us that much closer to being able to let these things go. As long as that brother or that sister has asked for forgiveness. Now, whole nother sermon for a whole nother day is, can I forgive without them asking for forgiveness? I believe that there is a way to do that without granting the forgiveness. But for me personally, I can get to a place where I can at least let it go, to where I can go on about my life. But until they truly ask, true forgiveness has not been given without repentance. Because it is modeled by God. God offers forgiveness to all, but it is not automatic without repentance. So today, as you sit and you think, as scenarios are running through your head, I want you to play it out this way. Forgive as you have been forgiven by God. Let me pray for you this morning as our praise team comes. God, I appreciate all that you do. Appreciate the truthfulness of your word. God, the hardness of your word, the impact that your word can make. Lord, I know that you are moving on hearts. God, this is so hard for us. And Lord, we have lots of scenarios where we can think about, well, what about the people outside of the world that don't know? God, just work on our hearts and bring us to a good place. Help us to see the value for ourselves of somehow setting it aside and letting it go until repentance is sought. Lord, help us to be careful that we don't pick up somebody else's offense and carry it as our own, because that is not healthy or right either. Lord, may we as believers be quick to seek forgiveness by repenting of our sins, not only to you, but to our fellow believers around us. Lord, help us as believers be quick to grant forgiveness to those who are truly repentant. And Lord, we don't know their heart. We can only go on their word, so help us to do our part and our responsibility in all of this. For those that have been moved by you this morning, I pray that you would grant them peace. Allow them to experience forgiveness in their heart, maybe towards themselves, towards others, whatever that looks like. And Lord, if there's any of us in this room this morning that needs to go to someone, Lord, I pray that you would move on us until we do. And help the one that is getting ready to be unloaded on to grant forgiveness the way that the best that they can. Thank you for all that you do. I love you. I appreciate how amazing you truly are. In Jesus' name.